And we are back. Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. A program for customers to sell power back to consumers energy being rolled out and involves homes that are equipped with solar energy systems. To talk about what the program entails and how it will work, I'm joined by Consumers Energy Public Information Director Dan Bishop. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Now, it's called the Experimental Advanced Renewable Program. It sounds like a plus for consumers and the utility, although homes that are equipped with these solar energy systems must be pretty rare. How many customers do you expect to participate in the program initially?
Well, in the first phase of this, Mike, about 100 folks, either businesses or individuals, decided to put up their own solar installation. So that was the initial small phase. Now we're expanding it, and we think the next phase will just be a little bit bigger than that.
And the rate apparently is going to be a little over 25 cents a kilowatt hour. For customers selling energy. How does that compare to what Consumers Energy charges per kilowatt hour?
You know, we have 1.8 million customers, Mike, and we charge about 10 or 11 cents per kilowatt hour. So people who choose to do this, who choose to pay for their own installation of a solar system, are getting a little bit of a subsidy, of course, from other users. But this, again, is an experiment to help test the marketability of solar energy in Michigan.
And, I mean, is Michigan really an ideal place to use solar power to power your home?
Well, it's interesting, Mike. This entire program really is in response to customers. There is a section of our customer group that really is passionate about solar. They believe that the technologies can make it viable. We want to cooperate and be responsive. So working with the state, the Michigan Public Service Commission, we've said, let's go forward. Let's make this available. They pay for the installation, and they'll get a little bit of a subsidy. So it'll really be a test of the customer's view that really this can work.
Now, the price of actually installing a solar energy system in a house must be extremely expensive, isn't it, in the tens of thousands of dollars?
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be, you know, some people have discretionary income. They feel passionate about the issue. They believe in solar power. What we're hearing from the solar power technology experts is that they have improved the technology. They've improved the ability of devices to receive solar power and convert that into electricity. So this expanded test will be, you know, an attempt to really see if that's viable, if in fact those claims prove to be true.
And how does this typically work? Do homes with solar power have a continuous access of power, or is it only during particularly sunny days or months that there's a surplus?
Yeah, this would really primarily be a supplement to their primary electric source from Consumers Energy. So it's going to depend, of course, on the sun, on the placement of their system, on the quality of their product. There are a lot of variables that will go into whether or not this produces a decent return for the customer investor.
Well, how much money is an average customer expected to be able to make in a month from the service?
Well, that of course will depend upon the size of their collection device. You know, you mentioned the possibility of this costing, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars, $10,000 or so, depending upon the system, but it's going to be a long payback period for most people.
And give me a sense of how much energy an average home could provide. I mean, is it enough to power several other homes in the area?
Probably not. You know, from the individual installations, they tend to be rooftop installations, maybe something in their yard. Generally, a supplement to their own power use. So it would be not that typical that a homeowner would have extra power. But, you know, you do see some commercial applications where, you know, where they're able to install it and have extra capacity.
Now, systems equipped with a battery backup system or other energy storage systems do not qualify to participate in the program. Why is that?
Well, primarily this is a test of the solar technology itself without any supplemental systems.
Is that does that mean that homes that have solar power with a battery backup system, are they actually able to operate without any power from Consumers Energy?
That certainly is a possibility.
I see. Now, I'm talking to Dan Bishop. He's the Public Information Director at Consumers Energy. Now, what's the sense of the projection of the growth of this program? I mean, 100 out of 1.8 million, that sounds like a true experiment.
Right.
Is there any kind of forecast on how quickly this could grow?
Well, it's interesting, Mike. You know, we've got 1.8 million customers. We're in 61 of Michigan's 68 counties in the Lower Peninsula with electric service. And the initial small step of this this program filled up pretty quickly. That was 2 megawatts, and solar enthusiasts applied, enrolled, and were accepted. Now, keeping in mind that initial phase had a larger subsidy than this phase. That initial phase paid somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 cents per kilowatt hour. So obviously a significant financial incentive to jump in and test to see if this worked. Having said that, we still believe, even at a lower subsidy, a lower payout rate, the 3 megawatts now made available will in fact be subscribed, and there'll be a considerable interest by people in this new program. And you know, again, this isn't. If we take a step back, this is really a test, an experiment to really determine the viability of some solar applications in Michigan.
Is there any kind of a government program that's involved in incentivizing Consumers Energy to do this, or is this something the utility came up with on its own?
Well, it's really a two-pronged, two major reasons, Mike, why we, Consumers Energy, are doing this. One, it simply is in response to our customers, a section of which has quite strongly and passionately encouraged us to move forward. The other is that Michigan's energy reform law requires all electric providers, Consumers Energy, the Lansing Board, Water and Light, for example, that 10% of our power comes from Michigan green sources by 2015. So in many cases, that's wind. It could be biomass. It could be methane projects. Solar also applies. So even though this is a small amount of power, it helps move the green ball forward, if you will, for Consumers Energy.
And with the technological advancement in solar power, at this point, is it an efficient way to produce energy? And if so, has Consumers Energy considered building its own solar system for power generation?
Well, at this point, we're simply working with customers who have an interest in installing their own systems. We have not made a corporate decision to head down this path. You know, our focus really is on larger baseload facilities that serve a large amount of customers and manufacturing at one time. So, you know, we're happy to respond to customers and make this available, but it's not something that we're pursuing on a corporate level.
It's well known that coal is a primary source of power for all of Michigan's utilities. When it comes to green energy, what do you expect to be the real source of that? I mean, when you compare wind to solar and so on, is there one that appears to be more promising than the others?
Well, you know, when this energy law passed, Mike, our experts took a hard look, you know, at Michigan, at the natural resources we have in our state. And we really did a lot of thinking about what's the best place to invest our customers' money to meet this 10% requirement. You know, we had hydro plants really dating to the 1900s. We had some biomass plants. But in order for us to meet the requirement of the state law, we've concluded that wind makes the most sense. And Consumers Energy will be building and owning our first wind parks. One will be in Mason County, the Lake Winds Energy Park, and the second will be in Tuscola County. That will be the Crosswinds Energy Park. So between the wind parks that we own and wind parks that we buy power from, we believe that, you know, wind will be the primary source by which we'll get to the 10%.
Finally, there's been so much talk about electric vehicles, and I know one thing that electric vehicles do is they require enormous amounts of energy. How much of an advancement and how much reform and upgrading do you think will be necessary in the coming years to accommodate the need for more energy output?
Mm-hmm. Well, before I forget, Mike, I should really encourage listeners who have an interest in plug-in vehicles to go to Consumers Energy's website, consumersenergy.com. We've got a whole page on discounts that can be made available to put up a charging station at your home. Or in addition, we have discount rates. But when we look at the demand on the system, you know, it's going to be initially a small penetration into the market with electric vehicles, and many folks will be charging, you know, in the evening hours or after midnight when electric capacity is available. So, you know, we see a seamless transition to make this work for customers. And over time, you know, we're always making investments to enhance the reliability of our system, and those investments will simply continue.
Dan Bishop, the Public Information Director at Consumers Energy, thank you for joining me, Dan.
Mike, thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.